time you got? Okay. Let's go ahead and get started. Open up a prayer here. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the rain that you sent. Father, we thank you for everyone that's here, for your blessings and your mercy that you show each one of us every day. Father, plant your word in our hearts. Reveal yourself to us through your word and fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we were talking about, we discussed following where God leads you. And sometimes, you know, we talked about sometimes God will send you places where you don't want to go. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going in the wrong direction just because you're in a place that you don't like being. And when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, what did he say? He said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Last week, what we were talking about was really the expression of that first commandment lived out through our lives. And what I mean by that is, if I love God with all my heart, my mind, and my soul, then where He leads, I will go. Right? I will follow Him where He takes me. And because I love Him and He loves, I know that He has ultimately has my best for me, right? And I know that it's His intention to do me good and not harm. Okay? So that is, if I really believe that, then the natural outgrowth of that is when He says, come over here, then I go over there. Does that make sense? And what we will talk about today really is the natural expression of that second, where He says, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to read, let me just go through real quick, because this is a story that's got to be really read all in one chunk. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Okay, then Peter came to Him and said, Master, how often shall I forgive my brothers when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Yeshua said to him, no, not up to seven times, I tell you, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle up, a man was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But since he didn't have the money to repay, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Then the slave fell on his knees and begged him, saying, be patient with me and I'll repay you everything. And the master of that slave, filled with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. Now the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he grabbed him and started choking him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell down and kept begging him, saying, be patient with me, and I'll pay you back. Yet he was unwilling. Instead, he went off and threw the man into the prison until he paid back all that he owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply distressed. They went to their master and reported in detail all that had happened. Then summoning the first slave, his master said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave all that debt because you pleaded with me. Wasn't it necessary for you also to show mercy to your fellow slave, just as I showed mercy to you? Enraged, the master handed him over to the torturers until he paid back all he owed. So also my heavenly Father will do to you unless each of you from your hearts forgives his brother. Okay, let's go back from the beginning. Jesus has just talked about forgiveness, and Peter chimes in with a good thing. Well, how often do I forgive? Seven times? Now, that's not really a dumb statement to make. I mean, Peter is on the right track. But Jesus says, no, you 70, up to 70 times seven, you, and really the point of that is you always forgive. Now, in this parable, let's break it down to who's who here. Who is the master? Okay. God is the master, and the slaves are us. Okay, all of us in relation to the master, we are all in the same place, the same footing. Okay, now this first slave, the master says is he's going to settle up, okay? He's settling up all these debts. Now, he brings this first guy in, verse 24 here. When he began to settle up, a man was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. I don't know what this guy did. This has got to be the biggest embezzler, swindler, most corrupt person that there's got to be. Because he owes the master 10,000 talents. Okay? Now, a talent was equal to 16 years' wages. So he owes the master 160,000 years' worth of pay. I don't know what this guy did, how he lost that much money, but there is no way he can ever pay this back, right? 160,000 years' worth of pay. So, he pleads with the master to forgive him. Now, this says that the master had compassion on him and forgave him all of it. Right? All of it. 160,000 years worth of debt that could ever be repaid is forgiven because the master had compassion on him. Now, the guy immediately goes out and he finds somebody that owes him how much? He owes him denarii, not talents. He owes him, let's see here, in verse 28, 100 denarii. It's about 3 months' worth of pay. Okay? It's something, 3 months' worth of pay. That's a easy payback, right? But the guy owes him about 3 months' worth of wages, and he demands to be paid back. Demands it from the guy. The guy falls down and starts begging. Now, it's hard to see this in the English, but it says he fell down and kept begging him, saying, "Be patient with me, and I'll pay you back." Yet the first guy is unwilling. In the Greek, what this is denoting is the guy is continually begging, "Please, please, please, cut me some slack." And the first guy continually says, "No, no, no." He's given the chance over and over and over to have compassion on the guy, but he is intent. He is intent on not forgiving him. Matter of fact, the way it reads, he went out looking for the guy. Okay, it wasn't just he's in town walking along, and he's like, "Oh, there's Clint. Oh, I just remembered. You owe me $20. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that. It was, "I'm going to go find Clint. I'm going to get my money. Okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find this person that owes me." That's the picture that we have here. Now, in telling this parable, what Jesus says is all this happens and the guy has him thrown in jail, goes into prison, going to pay him back. "I'm going to get what is owed to me." The other servants find out about it and they go to the master and tell the master. The master is none too happy about this. Why? Because he just forgave him. Think about this. How do you get to the point where you owe the master 160,000 years worth of payment? You have to be intentionally doing something. You just don't, lose that much money by just being an idiot. Okay? You've got to intentionally be going out and doing some stuff that gets you into that bind. So the master finds out, has him brought in. And what is his response to him? Then summoning the first slave, this is verse 32, summoning the first slave, his master said to him, "You wicked slave." It's never something you want to hear come out of the master's mouth. "You wicked slave, I forgave all that debt because," why? Not because for any other reason other than "you pleaded with me. Wasn't it necessary for you also to show mercy to your fellow slave?" J- just as I showed mercy to you. Enraged. Why is the master enraged? Because he forgave him all that, but now he treated a fellow servant so wrongly. Enraged, the master handed him over to the torturers until he could pay back all that he owed. Basically, he's there forever because he'll never pay this back. Now, here's the kicker. Verse 35. This is Jesus' commentary on the parable that he just gave. Okay? So also, my heavenly Father will do to you, unless each of you from your hearts forgives his brother. That is serious, serious business. We talk about forgiveness sometimes as if it's an option or as if it's a nice to do thing. And the reason we went over what we went over last week and why we're talking about this now, and I think Coach will agree with this, is no matter what you're doing, sometimes you've got to go back to the basics. If you lose sight of the basics, everything else you do will be complete failure. And it doesn't matter if it's in sports or in your walk with God. You have to stay grounded in those basics. Right? These two things and this thing right here we're talking about, this is the basics. Now, Jesus isn't saying that you're going to earn your way into heaven by how many people you forgive. Okay? But what he is saying is, and this is the thing, disciples of Jesus are forgiving people. It is a fact. If I am aware, if I am really aware of what I have done, the sin that I have committed, the offense that I have been before God, and what has been forgiven of me, if I really understand that, if I really understand the salvation that I claim that I have, then I can't do anything else but forgive. Because I am the guy that owns owes 160,000 years worth of money. And anything that anybody else does to me is no more than 3 months' pay compared to that. We live in a culture, and it's becoming worse, where it's almost like people enjoy having an offense, being offended by things, having an offense to take on, and then having something that I can hold against someone else. And you know that's Satan's number one thing that he can always get people with. You can get anybody with that. Male, female, young, old, doesn't matter. Satan can dangle that one out there and get you. Okay? Other things, some people might, you know, be more prone to one sin or another thing, but one thing that all of us are prone to, and one thing that he can get all of us with, is that thing of being offended. And if I take up an offense against somebody, that will turn into unforgiveness. And that unforgiveness will turn into bitterness. And that bitterness will not just make me ineffective as a believer, ineffective for the kingdom of God. It will not just mean that I live a spiritually defeated and unproductive life, but it opens a window on my heart that shines light in there and shows that maybe I'm unable to forgive because I've never been forgiven. See, this first servant, okay, he said all the right things. got on his knees before the master, begged and pleaded, "Oh, please, 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 I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And the master had compassion on him. But there was no repentance in his heart. Think about that. Anybody that's had kids knows that you've had at least one kid who would say anything to get out of trouble. Some of you may have been that kid who would say anything to get out of trouble. But you didn't mean it. Didn't mean a bit of it, and turn right around and get back into it. Right? That's kind of the way this first guy is. This guy had never experienced true forgiveness because he never had repentance. See, I can't really experience forgiveness if I'm not repentant. Does that make sense? It's not that God doesn't offer it. It's not that he's already died for all of us. Okay, if that was all that was needed, then everybody in the world is already saved. Okay, because the work that God had to do has already been done. But in order to pick up that gift that he's laid there, I have to do that. I have to teshuva. We call it repent, but in Hebrew it's teshuva. It means I'm going this way, and I turn and go the other way. I turn away from sin, and I turn towards God. He's also not saying here that okay, Bobby does something that makes me mad. And I'm as mad as I can be at her. And I go on and go on and go on, and I'm unforgiving for something that she did. And I'm like, you know, I shouldn't be that way. Just like other sin in our life, it's this unforgiveness thing is like, well, I didn't forgive them, and now I'm going to hell. He's talking about a pattern, a life of unforgiveness. Now, that doesn't mean that if I don't forgive Bobby that I'm not flirting in some dangerous territory. But he's talking about a pattern of unforgiveness. Because what does this guy do here? This isn't just a, well, I'm mad at them and I'm not going to talk to them anymore. This is, I'm going to go out and find them and I'm going to make them pay. They will pay for what they've done to me. And he has the guy thrown into prison. So this is big stuff. Jesus also, and if you think that this one parable stands alone, it doesn't. Jesus has gone over this more than just this time. Matthew 6, 9 through 15, where we have the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You ever thought about the fact that when you pray that prayer, you're telling God, forgive me just the way I forgive other people? So if I'm going to pray that, I better be a forgiving person. Matthew 7, 2. The measure that you use will be measured to you. Okay, this is a theme that Jesus goes over and over. And this is a difficult thing. This offense that we're so easily picking up, there's actually a book written about it, The Bait of Satan. It's a pretty good book. Leviticus 19:18. And this is when in Hebrews 10:30 and in Romans 12:19, where it talks about remembering that vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, about forgiving people and leaving the person to be corrected and taken care of by God. That comes from Leviticus 19:18. And actually, this is really where I think this whole thing ties in with that second commandment of loving your neighbor as yourself, because Leviticus 19:18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against any of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. When Jesus gives that answer to the scribe about what is the greatest commandment, and he says the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself, he's doing a paraphrase of this verse here from Leviticus 19:18, but the entire verse says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge, unforgiveness, against any of your people. Okay? Don't hold unforgiveness against any of your people. And then he says, but, instead of doing that, but, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, who's your neighbor? According to the parable of the Good Samaritan, it is the person that God has put in front of you, no matter who they are. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And then again, Jesus talks about in Matthew 5:44. Let me go back to that real quick. Matthew 5. Here we go. 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. That where it says children, some of your translations may be sons. The Greek word is huios, and it means a son. It can also mean a daughter, typically a son. Means having the same nature or the likeness of the Father. Does that make sense? So what it's saying is you forgive those that you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be like your Father in heaven. Isn't that our goal as disciples? Right? So what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be being transformed into the image of Christ. So I'm supposed to have that same nature. Why does that make me like Him? Why does that make me like Him? Well, first of all, He forgives. Right? Remember, we're the ones that owe that amount that can't be paid to Him. So He forgives. Also, and it follows on here, He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Okay? If God played by the same rules that people do, then all the people who have sinned against Him, which would be all of us, would get nothing. Or every time we did something we weren't supposed to do, bad things would happen to us. And there would be this constant tit-for-tat thing going on, because we would never measure up. I got 2 minutes? Okay. Jesus does not give us an option. Think hard about this. Nowhere in any of these verses that we've gone over has He given us an option. Nowhere has He said, forgive, you know, unless they went a little too far. Or forgive them, except if they do this. And forgiveness, let me throw this out there for you just in case you're confused about it. Forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean reconciliation. Okay? Forgiveness doesn't mean, oh, we're buddies again and everything's fine. Forgiveness doesn't whitewash over. It doesn't make everything okay. It doesn't say nothing ever happened. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is, I'm not holding it against you. I'm not the one that's going to drag you before the judge. I'm not the one that's going to have you thrown in jail. That's the judge's decision. That's the one that you will eventually stand before, just like I will. It is not my place to. It's not my place to take a fellow servant to have him get in trouble with the master over something trivial compared to what I was let go of. Okay? It also frees you many times more than it does the other person. The other person doesn't have to respond positively or negatively. That's completely up to them. It doesn't matter. But what it does is it takes that thing out of you that was starting to grow. That thing that will kill you spiritually. That thing that will make you so ineffective that God can't do a single thing with you. Because how can I take the love of God to a lost, dying people when I really don't understand that forgiveness that was given to me? It's impossible for me to do. And people will pick up on it. They'll know it. It's real easy to this first guy, it's real easy to spot one of them. Because they're after everybody. All the time. I want to challenge y'all to do something this week. And I've already had to do it. I've had to deal with this for the past 3 weeks, waiting to come here. And this past Thursday, God spoke to me something. Something that He had been talking to me about, somebody that I needed to take care of something with. And He said, "Don't you dare get up there and teach that lesson until you take care of this." And I was going to get somebody else to come in here and do it for me. But nobody would do it, so I had to deal with it. But it was the best thing that I've done in a long time. And let me tell you, I didn't want to do it. I kicked, fussed, and screamed, but I had to do it. It had to be done. Examine yourself. Get in the Word. Get on your knees before God and examine yourself, because almost all of us have somebody. There's somebody. And I'm not saying they didn't do you wrong, but that's not the point of it. Almost all of us have somebody that we need to forgive. Examine yourself, pray about it, find out what it is. And if you don't, my goodness, you're teaching next week. If you don't, that's great. But try to find it. It will break chains off of you. If you've been looking for a breakthrough, this is the place to start. If you feel like you're dead inside, this is the place to start. Because this will kill you. Okay? See y'all next week.